Hi, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where every week we tackle big questions from a spiritual perspective. I'm Carlos Machado. Just about a month ago, I met with Liz and Matthew Hammond. Liz and Matthew's family was personally affected by the catastrophic floods in the Texas Hill Country over the 4th of July. The Hammonds are Christian Scientists, and they very graciously shared with me how they have been dealing with and praying about a very big loss in their family. This show is a little bit different than our normal offering, but I think you'll be touched by what they have to share. And I think listening to their story will help you know how to best pray to support the many families affected in Texas and others around the world. So without further introduction, here are Matthew and Liz.
We live in Central Texas in Marble Falls, and we recently, almost 3 weeks ago, had a not even a century flood, but what they think is a 500-year flood, where the rain came down so consistently and hard in certain areas that it created these raging rivers that used to be dry creeks. And we were on our way the day after the 4th of July, making a trip to Cedars Camp. It's a Christian Science camp in Missouri, which we're doing the interview right now. We've made this trip many, many times. But the thing that has happened is the route that we took was across a bridge that normally is 20 to 30 feet above a dry creek, and it's been there for 70 years. And it was 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was very dark. And what looked like part of the bridge was actually the water. The water had evened out and the bridge had collapsed, but you could only see the bridge and the water. And by the time I recognized what was happening in my lights, it was too late. And the van went off the bridge into the water. And there were many, many instances of God's protection along the way. I mean, Liz, the first one was the songs that we were singing, the hymn that I believe Malaya started.
Yeah, we started off with hymns, and then it was Malaya's idea to get out her camp counselor book. And so she got out this book and turned it to Rise and Shine and Give God the Glory. I'm not even sure if it was the first one.
And it's all about Noah's Ark and the protection of Noah's Ark. So the fact that she chose that was singing that when we went off the gap of the bridge and into the water. The first thing is that it very easily the van could have flipped over and gone upside down. And if that were the case, we wouldn't have made it out. The next thing is that all six of us, we were also our family of five and a very good friend of our youngest daughters was with us. And everyone made it out into the river. The water was going 40 miles per hour. It was unlike any white water that I've ever rafted in. And our daughter Malaya, 17 years old, was ahead of me about 5 yards, and she knew from her lifeguard training to flip on her back
with
and
her
shine
sister.
With her sister Soraya.
Soraya was with her as they were going down the river, and Soraya started singing first, and then Malaya joined her, and they were both singing Rise and Shine.
But like you hear about emergency situations, everything slowed down, and I feel like our prayer life really helped us to be calm in really a very turbulent, dangerous situation. And
we already were singing our prayers as we hit the river.
I mean, it's something we've been doing since the children were very young is we use the Christian Science hymnal. We call it our travel guide. It's our first aid kit. I mean, we sing our way through. The difficult thing was we thought Malaya had made it. And she didn't. And that's when our prayers really deepened, because for the next 3 days, we searched for her. And our trust in God did not diminish one bit. If anything, I believe it actually went deeper. Like we had to find a deeper dimension of prayer that we could rely on.
We were singing that song. And then after we all got out of the river, but Malaya wasn't with us, and we made it over to the road where there was a cop car and all the like men
all
had
the
showed up,
services.
The emergency
yeah.
services, they had gone off to look for Malaya. I just got in the car and I just started praying. And part of my prayer was that I I saw Malaya in the ark. I kept seeing the ark, and I was seeing her in the ark, and I was just saying, God, thank you so much for protecting Malaya. I know she's safe. I know you've got her, that you're taking care of her. And I was talking to Malaya too, just saying, Malaya, you know, God's got you. I know that the ark is protecting you, and just hang in there, you know, just find a safe place and just sit and wait and just start praying. And while that was my prayer, I had this vision come in of her singing Rise and Shine, and she had her arm up in the air. And then I saw turbulent waters just suck her under, but it was this beautiful dance.
She's a dancer.
She's a dancer, a lyrical dancer. And so I saw her singing, and then I saw her spiral like this beautiful lyrical dance under the water. I saw her hair twirl, and I just saw her surrender to God. And then I heard her loud voice, and she said, Mom, I'm okay. Mom, I'm okay. And then after that, I saw a heart in my vision, and it was just this pulsating heart. And I knew that she was just sending me love, like showering me with love. And then after that, I had this sense of peace come over me. God's hands the whole time had been the ark, and God was protecting her and guiding her and holding her and taking her, you know, onto her next journey, and she was safe and protected. So it wasn't exactly what I was visualizing, but that's what God was showing me. And I didn't want to believe any of that.
You didn't share it with me because...
I didn't want to share it with anybody because I didn't want that to be true. And so it's like I had this deep knowing that she had moved on. It's like I knew.
Yeah.
I knew that that's what was happening. As I was praying, I know that God is all and that there is no death. You know, like we're not material, we are spiritual. I feel like when that vision came in of her moving on, the peace that washed over me had to do with my Christian Science prayer life, because it was a piece of knowing that she continues on. Like there's no death. She's just on her next journey. And I was praying and just knowing she's in God's protection. You know, that God's got her. That's one of the things that we always say, that God's got us no matter what is happening, that God's got us. So I feel like that was a big part of my prayer too, just knowing 100% that God is there no matter what.
When you're a student of Christian Science, there's certain phrases and sentences that you know like the back of your hand. One of them is Mary Baker Eddy's scientific statement of being, where she says, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance and matter. And this is the most important part. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. What we think goes on here in the human experience is the whole story. And that's the illusion, because the true story is that all is infinite mind, and we, as its infinite manifestation, live on. And so operating from that premise, living our life from that premise, it doesn't shield you or prevent you from having tears of sorrow and loss. That's part of the deal. You know, we are not trying to shortcut the grieving. You know, Jesus had his Gethsemane moment before he was going to be crucified, and he wept before raising Lazarus, simultaneously knowing that God is our life. God is infinite life. And so going through these waves of knowing and then missing and sorrow and then knowing's always there. But it's just working through the sorrow and the sense of loss.
Yeah, because it is a loss. I mean, she's not going to be doing all of the wonderful things that we had planned as a family, that she had planned for her life. And she's doing amazing work right now, but there's still that sense of her not being with us that is a big loss
for us. And working through that and loving her in her infinite state, the way God made her, loving her in the now, in the present, and feeling that closeness.
And having a new relationship with her. We're learning to have a new relationship with her now.
That's deeper. Mm-hmm. And this is the gift. Because Mary Baker Eddy says that sorrow is salutary. In another place, she says it never leaves us where it finds us. And certainly Mary Baker Eddy had her share of heartache and heartbreak throughout her life. And for her to be able to say, "Oh, make me glad for every scalding tear, for hope deferred, in gratitude, disdain, and then wait and love more for every hate and fear no ill, since God is good and loss is gain." I mean, that's a verse from her poem, Mother's Evening Prayer, and it means more to us than ever before. We've sung this for years and years, and it means a new dimension. And so we're finding a new form of love for our daughter, Malaya, a way of being.
A way of communicating with her.
And
feeling her presence all around us. When I was sitting there and I just felt the peace, it's almost like, I don't really know how to describe it, but it's almost like you're warm and then a cool, like maybe a cool air conditioner or something or fan all of a sudden just washes over your body and you feel like the warmth dissipate and like a coolness. That's kind of, I guess that's how I would describe it. It was like I was feeling shaky and worried and nervous. And then it was just like a big blanket of love. And my body just felt, it just stopped shaking. It just stopped worrying. I just felt a sense of calm and peace and that I could breathe.
It reminds me all of these biblical accounts of where the peace descends upon someone that's in great sorrow or distress. Mm-hmm. You know, Elijah's up in the mountain. He's fleeing for his life in the earthquake and the wind and the fire. But what was it that gave him stillness and was the still small voice, the peace of the still small voice? And I feel that you were cultivating that and listening to that, and it allowed you to hear Malaya, allowed mm-hmm. you to...
Yeah, because I was praying for probably 6 hours.
Yeah, because we were stuck. We were stuck between a broken bridge and a low water crossing that we couldn't cross, so we were there.
And so I was in the car, except for when I had to use the restroom or get a drink of water or just get out to get some fresh air for a minute. But most of the time that I was in that Jeep, I had my head up against the headrest, I had my hands together, and I just was going inward and I was just listening. I was just listening and I was just praying. And when you're doing that for 6 hours, that's just where, it's where you can feel it. It's where you can hear God. It's where I can feel Malaya the most.
In that moment, when you feel it deeply, there's solace and there's peace. And then you give permission to the people around you to also feel that and to also realize that God loves me the same way. That God is love. God is a God of infinite mercy and grace and love. And so we're actually been handed a deeper relationship with our daughter. Mm-hmm. And we're just a few weeks into this, so we're really leaning into it with all of our might and with all of our love. And it's a journey. It's the journey of a lifetime.
There's a couple of things that really helped us feel closer to Malaya and closer to God that happened.
Yeah, on the Saturday that Malaya went missing in the river, there were search crews out on boats and by foot and by drone and helicopter. And we also... we're working on a private party because it's, as a parent, it's just hard to just sit by if you can get on the ground yourself. But unbeknownst to us, a few of the families from the extended Christian community went out, one family on one bank of the river, another on the other, and spent hours looking for Malaya. One of them found a backpack and sent me a picture and said, is this yours? And indeed, it was actually our daughter's best friend's backpack. And it was returned to us that night. And as she went through it, you can imagine how waterlogged it was and had debris. And she pulled out three books. And the first two books were waterlogged and ruined. This is the thing that really blew us away. In between these two waterlogged books, in the midst of a soaked backpack, was a Bible. And the Bible was medium-sized. It had faux leather. It had roses on the front. It said, Holy Bible. And in between were the gold leaf thin pages with the thin paper. That thing should have been waterlogged. It did not have a drop of water. And our daughter's friend said, you won't believe this. There's not a mark of water. And we all came over and inspected it.
Through the pages.
Our friends who were there flipped through it. It reminded me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were in the fiery furnace, right? And through their faith in God, weren't even touched, right? This says not a hair on their head was singed, not a smell of smoke on their body. The Bible was not even touched by water. And so when you have things like this happen, these things are very, very real. And we just felt the closeness of God.
Yeah, I had the thought come in when we found this, like the angel thought immediately came in that said, God's word can never be destroyed.
Yes.
And then I had the next thought, we can never be destroyed.
Right.
Malaya can never be destroyed.
Yeah. Her life is infinite because it's held in God, and God is the source of all being. And when we support others and share the story with others, it helps them, it blesses them. And so that's part of the healing. It's not just our family, it's everyone around us. We were invited to come to Faith Academy, where our children had gone for about a year or so. And there were many students who knew Malaya and were grieving over her. And Liz and I felt led to go up on stage after an hour of worship music, and we sang a few songs from our Christian Science tradition to share with them. And then I got to speak some words that just came to me to share. And we were told that afterwards by all these families that they felt they had come to support us, but they felt supported by our singing and the words that were shared. And it felt like that's just the way God works. Consolation is not just a one-way process. It's a 360 process. Everyone is blessed by consolation. And this is the way the Christ works, right? The Christ comes to humans to lift us up, right? Has that leavening effect. To me, the Christ, and Christ Jesus was the exemplar of that and came to show us how to live the Christ and how to heal the way that Christ heals. But the Christ comes to us in moments of great sorrow and tribulation and loss, and it lifts us up. And it's not just for some people and some group, but the Christ is for everyone. We experience this through the emergency workers, the sheriffs, police, National Guard.
We've had so many
volunteers.
And we've had hundreds of people's
beyond signs. Our wildest imagination. Mm-hmm. And we felt what a tribute to our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
The way God works through all of us. Mm-hmm. What a tribute to how God loves us with such grace and such care and protection that our Father, Mother is there for us in every moment. Even in the moments when we don't quite feel it, God's still there.
Yep.
You know, we're not the only family that has had this, this hardship and this sorrow. There are many families that are doing
it's
that.
Like 150, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, people who have
been lost in this. And we just feel compelled to support them as well. And to the people that are out there of all Christian denominations, all faiths, we have Jewish friends and Muslim friends and Hindu friends and Buddhist friends and Christian friends, and of course our Christian Science community. The message is every prayer counts. There's no such thing as a wasted prayer. Just the desire to attune yourself with divine mind. Just the desire to say, God, I want to be of service. I want to pray to see what's going on. Help me to see that just that alone makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And imagine all the people out there doing that.
Yeah.
I know it had a buoyant effect. It lifted us up. I know this for a fact. Between the prayers of those that didn't know us and the prayers of those in our community in Marble Falls and people coming through our door at all hours. And we told them there's no door. It's just ceremonial. Just come on in. And people from all faiths coming into mm-hmm. our living room and
people
sitting
praying
with us.
In all kinds of different ways. Yeah. Really. Yeah. And I mean, I would say just get quiet. And listen to that still small voice, because it will come and you'll feel what you'll be led to how to pray and, you know, what to pray for.
And if you have a favorite hymn or two, sing that.
Yeah.
The hymns are so powerful. You'll know. It'll lead you. It'll lead you to how to pray. We're never helpless. God always gives us what we need in the moment. We may not be aware of what that need is, but we're given what we need mm-hmm. in the moment when we need it.
Yeah.
And that's been our prayer and our meditation, to be able to say, not to gloss over the events, not to gloss over the tears and the sense of loss, but to be able to say, God, I know you're the source of all being. And because of that, it is well. And I'm willing just to walk in that. Mm-hmm. And I know that will lead us. And it is leading us. It's okay to grieve, because grief is a form of saying, I love you. You matter to me.
It is. It's a reflection of the person that we love.
Yes. We feel like Malaya, you know, no greater love hath a person than this, that he or she lays down their life for others. And we feel like this is what Malaya has done in a way. Our daughter was so much about harmony. Like, she came into this world wired for harmony. She loved singing harmonies with my original songs and with her mom. And she loved when people got along. She was often the mediator between her friends. She just believed that harmony was the rule and not the exception. And so if we can help pass that on and help people in their moments of loss and grief, then she will be very happy with us.
Oh, yeah.
And so really we feel so both impelled and compelled to pass this on to others. Mm-hmm. We have to. We have to give this comfort.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.